to the meeting of the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee. Ms. Hannon, would you please call the roll?
Trustee Rita Athus?
Here.
Trustee Dennis Burcima?
Here.
Vice Chair John Butler?
Here.
Committee Chair Montel Gales?
Here.
Trustee Veronica Herrero? Trustee Tim Moore?
Here.
Board Chair Eric Wasowitz?
Here.
Oh, we have a quorum. Ms. Perry, will you please verify that we have a quorum and that the appropriate notice of this meeting has been posted?
Good morning, Mr. Chair. You have a quorum present. An appropriate notice has been provided pursuant to the Illinois Open Meetings Act.
We have a quorum and the trustees present and in person for today's meeting. Trustee Athus is attending remotely because of illness. May I have a motion to allow Trustee Athus to participate in the meeting today remotely?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Any discussion?
Third.
All in favor of allowing Trustee Athus to participate remotely, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any abstentions? The motion is approved. Good morning, Rita.
Thank you for letting me vote. Appreciate it.
Oh, wouldn't have it any other way. May I have a motion to approve the agenda for today's meeting?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? I believe, let me ask, do I need to do a roll call with Rita being remote?
No.
Really?
Any discussion? All in favor of adopting the agenda, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Now, may I have a motion to approve the minutes of the meeting of February 16, 2023?
So moved.
Second, Moore.
Very good. Any discussion? Any opposition? Any abstention? The motion carries. My comments. I would like to welcome everyone here today to our May meeting of the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee meeting. This is an exciting time of the year. This weekend, we celebrate the graduation of students earning graduate and undergraduate degrees. At the end of May, we will celebrate the graduation of our law students. Each of these students has devoted significant time and effort to reach this important milestone. We are so proud of all of our students and commend them on their accomplishments. Today, we have 12 items for approval and one informational item. We will vote on the appointment of a new dean of the College of Engineering and Engineering Technology, David Gorrell. I'm delighted that Dr. Gorrell can be with us in person today. I also want to thank our current dean of the College of Engineering and Engineering Technology, Dr. Donald Peterson, for his leadership of the college over the past 6 years. We will vote on the appointment of the Vice President of Research and Innovation Partnerships, Yvonne Harris. Thank you to Dr. Jerry Blasey for his success in leading this division, and I wish him the best in his retirement. I want to take a moment to applaud him. We will also have the approval of an acting dean of the College of Education, William Pitney. Dr. Pitney is with us in person today. Dr. Pitney has held several leadership positions during his 29 years at NIU, and you will hear more about his qualifications when the agenda item is read later. We have the approval of interim dean of the College of Business, Dr. Denise Schimbacher. Dr. Schimbacher has come out of retirement to assist the college until a national search can be conducted. I want to thank the current dean of the College of Business, Dr. Balaji Rajagopalan. Oh, I know that was a tough one, forgive me. For his years of service to the university and wish him the best of luck in his new position at Mizzou. Next action item is approval of tenure and promotion decisions for NIU's faculty. Today's action is accumulation of a long and rigorous process of evaluation that started last summer with the submission of faculty portfolios. These portfolios were evaluated using a shared governance framework, starting in the academic departments, moving to the college level, to the provost's office and faculty senate, and then to the president. We're so proud of all of our faculty and their accomplishments. We will also consider 7 curricular changes resulting from the merger of the Department of Geographic and Atmospheric Sciences with the Department of Geology and Environmental Sciences into the Department of Earth, Atmosphere, and Environment, previously approved in the December 2021 meeting. Our informational item covers transformative experiences promoting equity, inclusion, and belonging, presented by Vernice Edgehill Walden, Vice President for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, and Chief Diversity Officer at NIU. I know we'll see Dr. Edgehill Walden at our June meeting prior to her departure, but since she's presenting today, I'd like to take the opportunity to thank her, too, for her service to NIU. The presentation today is a good example of her creativity and her commitment to students. We look forward to recognizing Vice President Edgehill Walden, as well as Executive Vice President and Provost Beth Ingram and Vice President for Research and Innovation Partnerships Jerry Blasey at the full board meeting in June. Now, before we go into the agenda, I want to welcome the University Advisory Committee representatives present today. The current UAC representatives are Felicia Bohannon, Brad Kripp, Kathy Jekyll, Ismail Montana, Holly Nicholson, and Karen Wedby. Do any of you all have comments for the board today? No? On a beautiful day like today.
It's a beautiful day.
All right. Do we have any comments for the board? We got that. Let's see. Mr. Perry, have any members of the public registered a written request to address the board in accordance with state law and Board of Trustees bylaws?
Mr. Chair, we have one registered public comment, but I don't think they're online. Is Mr. Lush online? Hearing nothing?
Brian, I was told he was not.
Okay. There you go. He's not.
Very good. I would like to invite President Lisa Freeman to present the university's recommendations. And you know, let's acknowledge too, Beth is not here today.
Absolutely, I was going to start there. Thank you, Trustee Gales. And I just want to point out that I am taking the seat that Executive Vice President and Provost Ingram normally takes during this committee meeting because she's home with her husband who fractured his leg and needs attendance and care. And certainly, you know, we are a family-friendly, values-driven institution, and we're glad that she's home with Pat. But we know how much Beth loves this time of year, loves being the one who recognizes the faculty for their achievement of tenure and promotion, loves commencement, and I just want to say the thoughts of all of us are with her and Pat today, so thank you. But I, too, am excited about our upcoming commencement ceremonies. They represent the culmination of our mission to support students in meeting their academic dreams and aspirations. And I want to thank all of the staff and faculty who have devoted their time to our students to help them reach their goals. As a reminder, these are students who, for the most part, started at the university before COVID, persevered through a major disruption, and are now reaching the finish line. And I also want to acknowledge all of the faculty who are earning promotion and tenure. As a tenured professor myself, I know the level of commitment and passion that it takes to accomplish this goal, the angst that comes along with the home stretch, and I want to say congratulations to all of the faculty who are being considered today. And finally, since this is the last meeting of the academic year for the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee, I want to make sure that we recognize the contributions of the 3 deans who are moving into other positions this summer. Dr. Beverly Henry has served twice as interim dean of the College of Health and Human Sciences and will return to a faculty position next year. Dean Don Peterson has served for 6 years as Dean of the College of Engineering and Engineering Technology and will also return to a faculty position. And Dr. Balaji Rajagopalan has accepted an offer to be the next Dean of the College of Business at the University of Missouri-Columbia. All 3 have built the foundation for success for their colleges and created conditions for further growth. In addition, we have a couple others from Academic Affairs to recognize today. Vice Provost Omer Graib has served in his role for 6 years, managing student success and retention during a very turbulent time. Dr. Graib will be returning to his faculty position in the College of Engineering and Engineering Technology.
And Vice Provost Chad McAvoy, who is with us today, has accepted an offer to be Dean of the College of Applied Science and Technology at Illinois State University. Over the past 4 years, he has provided excellent support for our faculty and recently closed a very well-received collective bargaining agreement. So please join me in thanking all of these leaders for their service and their contributions to the UU. The first few items on today's agenda are appointments to the university's executive and academic leadership. NIU has successfully completed a number of strategic and inclusive leadership searches in a very competitive market, and we've attracted highly qualified and accomplished candidates, no small accomplishment for the university. We are delighted to present these appointments for board approval. And we're also delighted to welcome back proven leaders to fill open positions that necessitate interim appointments. At the June board meeting, we anticipate bringing forward two additional personnel items to include the appointment of NIU's next Vice President for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion and Chief Diversity Officer, as well as the fiscal year 24 increments for non-represented faculty and staff. With those comments, I will start with agenda item 7A, appointment of the Dean for the College of Engineering and Engineering Technology. Following a national search, pending Board of Trustees approval, Dr. David Gruhl has accepted an offer to be the Dean of the College of Engineering and Engineering Technology. Dr. Gruhl is recommended for appointment at the rank of professor with tenure in the Department of Industrial and Systems Engineering in the College of Engineering and Engineering Technology. Dr. Gruhl is currently the chair of the Department of Industrial and Manufacturing Engineering at North Dakota State University. Prior to his move to NDSU, he was a professor at Iowa State University in the Department of Agricultural and Biosystems Engineering for 14 years. Before returning to academia, he worked at Emerson Electric for nearly 14 years. Dr. Gruhl received his bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in welding engineering from The Ohio State University. He holds 17 patents, has authored numerous publications, including 3 books, and he has been given an incredible number of honors and awards. The university's recommendation is that the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee approve the appointment for Dr. David Gruhl as the Dean of the College of Engineering and Engineering Technology with the rank of professor with tenure in the Department of Industrial and Systems Engineering effective July 1st, 2023, and ask that the president forward it by means of the president's report to the Board of Trustees for its approval at a special meeting later today on May 11th, 2023.
Let me ask the board, do we have any questions or comments regarding this appointment? Can I get a motion to approve item 7A, appointment of Dean of College of Engineering and Engineering Technology?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in
Wait,
favor?
Wait, you know what? I'm kind of curious. What is the Ohio State? Is that because you two?
I will just point out that I am a Buckeye, and you
I
need to be
are.
Careful.
I did pick up on the thing. I thought they only did that in sports, not in academia, too. Wow. Okay.
Well, we would just say welcome to the Northern Illinois University. So,
there you go.
Keep it going.
So all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Any abstentions? The motion carries. I'd like to invite...
Welcome aboard.
Yes. Please. Welcome.
Congratulations.
I offer Dave an opportunity to make some comments if he wishes. Thank you.
Please approach the podium so you have a microphone.
Yeah, you'll...
Well, thank you for the nice introduction, President Freeman. And I also want to say that I'm very humbled. I got big shoes to fill. I know this. Dean Don Peterson was a great person as the dean, and he did a great job. And so I'm honored and humbled to be able to try to fill what he's been able to accomplish. And I look forward to being a good citizen, an advocate for the department, the college, the students, the faculty, the staff, as well as the community. And so I look forward to this opportunity and the challenges that come along with it. So thank you.
Right.
Any questions?
Welcome again to the Northern Illinois University.
Welcome to the Husky family.
Thank you
very much.
Do you have any questions for me?
Is that true that the Jackrabbits beat the Bison in football last year?
Well, coming from the Ohio State University, I'm not really sure if that, I didn't pay much attention to it. There's only one game that matters. But you're correct, they did.
Well, I would like to also thank you for giving us the Justin Fields. We do appreciate that. President Freeman, will you review item 7B for us?
Absolutely. Agenda item 7B is appointment of Vice President for Research and Innovation Partnerships. Following a national search and pending Board of Trustees approval, Dr. Yvonne Harris has accepted the offer to join NIU as the Vice President for Research and Innovation Partnerships. Dr. Harris has extensive experience in higher education research administration with demonstrated success supporting and facilitating the research, scholarship, and artistry of faculty, staff, and students, as well as promoting university entrepreneurship and economic engagement. Currently, Dr. Harris is the Associate Vice President for Research, Innovation, and Economic Development at California State University at Sacramento, with oversight of the offices responsible for research proposal development, economic development, innovation and technology, and student research, as well as 12 centers and institutes. Previously, she served as the Vice Provost of Research and Scholarship at James Madison University, the Associate Vice President of Sponsored Programs at Chicago State University, the Dean of Math and Science at Harper College, and Department Chair for Biology and Biotechnology at Truman College of the City Colleges of Chicago. In addition, Dr. Harris did postdoctoral work at the University of Chicago and the University of Illinois Chicago. Dr. Harris holds 3 degrees from Northern Illinois University. She received a bachelor's that fulfilled the major requirements for biology and philosophy in 1992, and continued to obtain master's and doctoral degrees in biology in 1991 and 92, respectively. We are delighted to welcome this Husky home, and we'll have the opportunity to hear from Dr. Harris via remote link following board action.
Thank you.
The recommendation from the university is that Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee approves the appointment for Dr. Yvonne Harris as the Vice President for Research and Innovation Partnerships effective August 1st, 2023, and asks that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at a special meeting later this afternoon on May 11th, 2023.
Again, thank you. I was a little bit premature thanking you before, but thank you. Does anyone have any questions regarding this item? Again, may I have a motion to approve item 7B, appointment of Vice President for Research and Innovation Partnerships?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstain? Motion carries. You just mentioned that she is remote?
She is coming to us from California via a remote link. So, Dr. Harris, this is your moment to address the board meeting, please.
Thank you, President Freeman, for the wonderful introduction. And I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to serve NIU. And I want to thank the Board of Trustees for their consideration. My career trajectory has involved administration of research at several 2-year and 4-year institutions. And I've been able not only to support faculty and students at each of these institutions, but their surrounding communities. I've participated in building strong partnerships with industries and government agencies at each of these institutions. And as a triple Husky, I look forward to doing the same for NIU.
Dr. Harris, welcome. Definitely glad to have a triple Husky. I've never heard one of them. President Freeman, will you please present item 7C for us?
Thank you, Dr. Harris, and absolutely, I will move on to agenda item 7C, appointment of Acting Dean, College of Education. Pending board approval, Dr. William Pitney has been appointed to be the Acting Dean of the College of Education effective July 1st, 2023. Dr. Pitney has been a faculty member and administrator at Northern Illinois University since 1994. He served as Associate Dean for Research, Resources, and Innovation in the College of Education from 2016 to 2022, and he previously served as Acting Vice Provost for Faculty Affairs and President of the Faculty Senate. Dr. Pitney is a professor in the Department of Kinesiology and Physical Education in the area of athletic training. Dr. Pitney obtained his bachelor's degree from Indiana State University, his master's from Eastern Michigan University, and his doctorate here at NIU. The recommendation from the university is that the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee approve the appointment for Dr. William Pitney as Acting Dean of the College of Education, effective July 1st, 2023, and ask that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its special meeting on May 11th. And I will point out that Dr. Pitney is also with us here in person, available to make comments after board action.
My colleagues, do any of you have any questions regarding this item? I have a motion to approve item 7C, appointment of acting dean, College of Education.
So moved.
A second.
I think we got 2 seconds. I'm gonna take third.
Yeah, no, please take the student.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Dr. Pitney, if you have any remarks you'd like to make. Thank you.
Thank you, President Freeman and members of the Board of Trustees. I'm humbled and honored to have the opportunity to serve as the acting dean of the College of Education. I had an amazing experience in the associate dean role working with Dean Elish Piper, and I look forward to continuing to serve the college to advance its priorities, and I'm committed to our students and to our talented faculty and staff to ensure student success via meaningful learning experiences. So I look forward to the opportunity.
Thank you.
Glad to have you. President Freeman, will you present the next item?
Moving on to agenda item 7D, appointment of interim dean of the College of Business. Pending board approval, Dr. Denise Shane-Beckler has been appointed to be the acting dean of the College of Business effective July 1st, 2023. Well known to members of the Husky family, Shane-Beckler has more than 30 years of experience and service at NIU. After earning a bachelor's degree and an MBA from the University of Louisville in Kentucky and a doctorate from the University of Kentucky, Shane-Beckler was a faculty member at NIU from 1992 to 2022. She served as the chair of the marketing department from 2002 to 2006 and the dean of the College of Business from 2006 to 2016. From 2016 to 2022, she served as the Douglas and Cynthia Crocker Endowed Professor in Business. During her time at NIU, Denise has been recognized numerous times for her commitments to teaching excellence and to women's leadership development. For example, she was the 2021 recipient of the Golden Apple Award for the Chicago MBA program. Denise Shane-Beckler is described by students and colleagues as a passionate, selfless, positive, and authentic leader. She is not with us in person today, and I suspect that's because she's busy responding to over 250 comments that she received on LinkedIn, Facebook, and other social media after announcing her return as the interim dean. The recommendation from the university is that the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee approve the appointment for Dr. Denise Shane-Beckler as the interim dean of the College of Business effective July 1st, 2023, and ask that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its special meeting later today, May 11th, 2023.
Thank you. Thank you. Anyone have any questions regarding this item? Can I get a motion to approve item 7D, appointment of interim dean of the College of Business?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second. Second.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Is there discussion?
Okay, I'll add my comment after we vote.
Any opposition? Any abstentions? Motion carries.
No, I was just going to say it's great to see Dr. Shane-Beckler back in the dean's chair on an acting basis or an interim basis, and thank her for coming out of retirement to do this for us. And as Dr. Freeman, as she mentioned, you could just see the warmth and love that she's gotten on social media from all those lives that she's touched being back in that chair. So great choice, And, you know, I know she's going to do a great job during the interim period.
Any other comments before we give you some applause?
Yeah, I haven't thought as well.
Okay. We'll get back to the applause.
I was thinking about this when I saw her coming up, I remember when she asked me to come in and help out and take over a class, and I said I didn't have the time. She goes, it'll only be for 1 year, and we'll make it happen. And then I did it for 5 years. So maybe this will be my way of getting back at her.
Oh, that's
so
very good.
It took
very
you five good. Years to get good at it.
Very
yeah,
good.
That's true. It did.
You're right. So I want to first give you your applause. Thank you. And I also want to acknowledge that Trustee Veronica Herrera has just come in at 9 o'clock. President Freeman, will you address item 7E?
Absolutely. Item 7E is the recommendations for faculty tenure and promotion effective 2023-24. This item includes one promotion for information purposes only and 35 recommendations for tenure and promotion for board vote. We have one faculty member being promoted from clinical assistant professor to clinical associate professor. Additionally, we have 9 faculty recommended for promotion from associate professor to full professor, 22 faculty recommended for promotion from assistant professor to associate professor with tenure. We have one faculty member recommended for promotion from assistant professor to associate professor, and one faculty member hired at the rank of professor with tenure, and 2 faculty hired at the rank of associate professor with tenure. But while those details are accurate, they're not the really important thing. The really important thing is that with this board vote, we celebrate the excellence of faculty who have committed to the success of Husky students. Faculty who joined us, many cases 5 or 6 years ago, sometimes another time span, join us wanting to be part of our family, wanting to be successful in their disciplines as scholars and artists and researchers. And I look at this list of names and I can remember sitting with them at tables at new faculty orientation. I can remember the times that they've consulted with Dr. Blasey or with the provost about the most effective way to fulfill their dreams. And I just want to say that all of us in the academic and senior leadership team take great pride in their accomplishments and great pride into welcoming them into the tenured faculty ranks. The recommendation from the university is that the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee endorse this request and that the president forward it by means of the president's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on June 15th, 2023.
Thank you. Thank you. Does anyone have any questions regarding this item? Before we issue the vote here, and I tell you, this is one of the things I really feel good about each year when we vote on this item. It's almost like we need to give you all a special thank you, one for the efforts that you've done, and then a recognition of your accomplishments. So thank you very much. If there are no other questions, can I get a motion to approve item 7E?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Oh, then let me say this too. At this time, I would like to remind Trustee Moore that as a student trustee, you are unable to vote on agenda items regarding tenure, okay? Rather than voting yes or no, you can simply vote abstain.
Can he second the motion?
Well, that's an interesting question. Can he second? Okay, let's pull that second back. My comments will stay in place, but let me get another second. Okay, we have a second from Trustee Butler. With that said, I believe because this is a tenure matter, we have to do a roll call vote. Ms. Hannon, will you please call the roll call vote?
Trustee Rita Athes?
Yes.
Trustees Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Vice Chair John Butler?
Yes.
Committee Chair Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero?
Yes.
Trustee Tim Moore?
I abstain.
Board Chair Eric Wasowitz?
Yes.
All right, the motion carries. Again, congratulations. President Freeman, will you please present the next item?
Just as a preface to agenda items 7F to 7L, all of these pertain to curricular changes related to the merger of the Department of Geographic and Atmospheric Sciences with the Department of Geology and Environmental Sciences. None of the requests are new programs that require new funding, and students that are currently enrolled in the deleted programs will be allowed to finish their degrees under the current catalog or choose to move to the new degree programs. Agenda item 7F is a request for the deletion of the Bachelor of Arts in Geography. The university recommends that the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee endorse this request and ask that the president forward it by means of the president's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on June 15th, 2023. And just to be clear, the Bachelor of Science in Geography will be incorporated into the former Bachelor of Science in Geology and Environmental Geosciences, which will then be renamed to the Bachelor of Science in Earth, Atmosphere, and Environment, and there will no longer be a Bachelor of Arts in this area. Area of study.
Does anyone have questions regarding this item? May I get a motion to approve item 7F, request for the deletion of Bachelor of Arts in Geography?
So moved.
Second.
Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries.
Agenda item 7G is a request for the deletion of the Bachelor of Science in Geography. The Bachelor of Science in Geography will be incorporated into the former Bachelor of Science in Geology and Environmental Geosciences, which will then be renamed to the Bachelor of Science in Earth, Atmosphere, and Environment. I think you probably detect a theme here. The recommendation is that the university recommends the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee endorse this request and ask that the president forward it by means of the president's report to the board for approval at its meeting on June 15th, 2023.
Again, are there any questions regarding this item? May I get a motion to approve item 7G, request for deletion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries.
Agenda item 7H is a request for the deletion of the Master of Science in Geography, which will be incorporated into the former Master of Science in Geology and Environmental Geosciences, which will then be renamed to the Master of Science in Earth, Atmosphere, and Environment. The university recommends that the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee endorse this request and that the president forward it by means of the president's report to the board for approval at its meeting on June 15th, 2023.
Again, any questions regarding this item? Can I get a motion to approve item 7H, request for the deletion of the Master of Science in Geography?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries.
Agenda item 7I is a request for the deletion of the Doctor of Philosophy in Geography. This degree will be incorporated into the former Doctor of Philosophy in Geology, which will be renamed to the Doctor of Philosophy in Earth, Atmosphere, and Environment. The university recommends that the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee endorse the request and have the president forward it by means of the president's report to the board for approval at its meeting on June 15th, 2023.
Folks, are there any questions regarding this item? May I have a motion to approve item 7I, request for the deletion of the Doctor of Philosophy in Geography?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any abstention? Any opposition? Motion carries.
Agenda item 7J is a request to change the name of the Bachelor of Science in Geology and Environmental Geosciences. The name will be changed to the Bachelor of Science in Earth, Atmosphere, and Environment offered by the Department of Earth, Atmosphere, and Environment in the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences. The university recommends that the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee endorse this request and ask that the president forward it by means of the president's report to the board for approval at its meeting on June 15th, 2023.
Any questions? May I get a motion to approve item 7J, request to change name of Bachelor of Science in Geology to Environmental Geosciences.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstention? Motion carries.
Agenda item 7K is a request to change the name of the Master of Science in Geology to be incorporated into the former Master of Science in Geology, which will then be renamed the Master of Science in Earth, Atmosphere, and Environment. The university recommends that the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee endorse this request and ask that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on June 15th, 2023.
Again, any questions regarding this item? May I have a motion to approve item 7K, request to change name of Masters of Science in Geology?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries.
Agenda item 7L is a request to change the name of the Doctor of Philosophy in Geology. It will be incorporated into the former Doctor of Philosophy in Geology, which will then be renamed as the Doctor of Philosophy in Earth, Atmosphere, and Environment. The university recommends that the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee endorse this request and ask that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board for approval at its meeting on June 15th, 2023.
I know I sound like a broken record, but are there any questions regarding this item? May I have a motion to approve item 7I, a request to change name of Doctor of Philosophy in Geology.
So moved.
Geology. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstaining? The motion carries.
That concludes the university recommendations. And at this point, with permission, Trustee Gales, I will move into the university report.
Please.
Agenda item 8A is a presentation on transformative experiences promoting equity, inclusion, and belonging. This presentation is directly related to University Goal 4B, social justice education, inclusion, and belonging, specifically related to our objective of continuing to create transformative experiences that encourage students to think critically, develop compassion, and acquire the skills needed to integrate complex and conflicting realities. We will hear from Dr. Vernice Etchell-Walden, Vice President for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion and Chief Diversity Officer at Northern Illinois University, Dr. Doris Houston, Chief Equity and Inclusion Officer at Illinois State University, Dr. Tina Williams, Chair, Department of Management and Quantitative Methods at Illinois State University, and best of all, from participating NIU students. Dr. Etchell-Walden.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
I can see the. All right. So I wanted to take a few minutes just to share with you some of the work that ADEI has been doing. For the past 3 years, ADEI, Academic Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, our resource centers have been exploring and developing transformative learning experiences for our students. Next slide, please. These experiences encourage students to think critically and to acquire skills that integrate complex and sometimes conflicting realities, as the President has talked about, both in domestic and international experiences. These experiences have been aligned, as you can see, to Goal 4B and to our student learning outcomes, which state that we would like for our students to acquire global knowledge, intellectual skills, perspectives, and self-awareness. We have been able to develop domestic as well as international experiences within ADEI, and more specifically within the Asian American Resource Center and the Center for Black Studies. An example of a domestic experience, one of two that I'll talk about today, has been in September, we had the opportunity to partner with Student Affairs, Alumni Relations, and Athletics to take 18 students to Tulsa to visit Black Wall Street and also attend a football game. We realized that study abroad and domestic away experiences outside of the state of Illinois have typically been experiences that many low-income and students of color may not have been able to afford and have not been accessible to many of our community, our Husky community. And because of that, we worked diligently to keep these trips affordable by reducing the financial barrier of these opportunities. These programs were open to the entire campus and continue to be advertised through our centers and some through our study abroad fair. Some of these programs have cost as little as $30 and as much as $1,500, which would include perhaps airfare or spending money as the students took these trips, and have been subsidized through alumni and friend donations through the center, some cultural student programming fees, and university scholarships, and also student fundraisers. So some of you might have gotten links to buy popcorn or raffles. Students have been diligently raising funds for these trips. Next slide. The first trip is outside of Tulsa, actually is a trip to California to visit the Mazanar Japanese incarceration camp. This has been a week-long program sponsored by the Asian American Resource Center and really began in May of 2020, which was after we reopened from COVID. The ARC, which we lovingly call it, is led by Dr. Michelle Bringus, who's here today to be recognized. Actually, she's newly minted Dr. Michelle Bringus, who defended her dissertation last week, so congratulations. So that may sound a little strange in public, but Dr. Bringus launched the Mazanar trip, as I said, in May of 2022, and is now in their second year. They will take this trip in next week, actually. Dr. Bringus took a group of students to the incarceration camp, which was established during World War II. The students toured the site, learned about the resilience of those incarcerated, and how they built their own community. Next slide, please. They also visited the Japanese American Museum to learn more about the Japanese Americans' lived experience while imprisoned. Students returned from this trip and have been engaged in sharing their knowledge about this trip with their peers. And next week, as I said, Michelle will take another group of students. And one of the things that have been really great is that the students that went last year have been able to share their experiences throughout the semester, but also with the students that are going next week to be able to orient them and to prepare them for this experience. Thank you, Michelle, for this opportunity.
Very good.
All right, so next slide, please. We have another trip where we've been doing international trips. In 2020, the Center for Black Studies, home of the Black Studies minor, was invited by Clemson University, and actually many of you may know Bill McCoy, who is a Husky and went to Clemson, called and said, "Do you know anyone that has any connections in Barbados? Clemson wants to do a Ghana-Barbados transatlantic slave experience." Well, fun fact, I am from Barbados. I don't think Bill knew that at the time, but he asked me. And so I said, sure I do. And I've also done some research on Barbados as well. So we did an exploratory trip in January of 2020, but I don't have to tell you what happened after January of 2020. The world shut down. But during COVID, we learned more about how to enhance this trip and were introduced to ISU as a partner. Between 2020 and 2022, we were able to refine our plan about the transatlantic slave experience. And though Clemson and the College of Charleston remain interested in this project, ISU has become a very strong and more engaged partner. ISU led the Barbados trip, and NIU is leading our Ghana trip, and we are planning for Clemson and the College of Charleston to lead the South Carolina trip. We picked these three places because they are very significant places for the transatlantic slave trade. When the ships left Ghana, the closest landmass was Barbados. From Barbados, it then went to other islands and the United States, but these were three, and one of those places in the United States is South Carolina. Today, I have our amazing faculty lead for the Barbados trip, Dr. Tina Williams, who is the chair and associate professor of the Department of Management at ISU. And unfortunately, Dr. Houston is not able to be with us today, and she is a professor of social work. As you know, this time of year is crazy, and so she had other obligations. Dr. Williams led this trip in 2020 and actually was there when in the beginning of COVID being shut, COVID shutting down the world. But ISU had many trips out at that time, but Barbados' trip with Dr. Williams was the only one that was able to complete during COVID. We were happy to know that they had already created this trip, and so partnering with them seemed very beneficial. This past March, we took 3 students from NIU and 5 from ISU to Barbados for a week. The students are majoring in fashion merchandising, digital media, social entrepreneurship, film studies, rehabilitation and disabilities, and counseling, advertising and marketing analytics, and human resource management, to name a few. Our NIU students registered for ISU courses in management and quantitative methods or in an independent study. These courses were articulated to NIU as 3 credit courses in Black Studies. Though throughout this week, they were able to use Barbados as a text. We visited with faculty and students from University of West Indies, Cave Hill. We also met with Barbadians who were also ISU alum, who are now entrepreneurs in Barbados in the IT and agribusiness spaces. Students' assignments were focused on observations of Bajan culture, education, and politics, to name a few, and how it related to their major. They were asked to write reflections on their first impressions of the island and to explore Bajan history and compare it to its present and future state. Students were asked to create a photo journal, and throughout this experience, regardless of the assignment, they were continuing to learn about the historical context of the island and as it relates to the slave trade and colonialism. We will hear from our 3 students shortly. Next slide. While Michelle is in California, a second part of our transatlantic slave experience will begin by traveling to Ghana on May 20th to be prepared to engage in this Ghana experience by May 22nd. We have 9 students going on this trip, 1 student from ISU, 8 students from NIU. The faculty going on this trip is Dr. Laverne Guyant, who's also here today. Dr. Guyant has been the director of the Center for Black Studies for many years, took this trip when she was the director, and is now part-time back with us as we search for a new director. In addition to, let me say a little bit more about Dr. G, which we lovingly call her. So Dr. G has, because she's taken this trip, has alums that have also obviously gone on this trip, and like Michelle, have been engaging the alums in helping to prepare our students for this upcoming trip as well. We also have a new visiting assistant professor that I'm happy to announce that will actually start on May 16th next week, Dr. Taylor Duckett. Dr. Taylor Duckett will also be joining this trip. Actually, her first 4 or 5 days on the job, she will be traveling as a new visiting assistant professor and associate director for Black Studies. Dr. Taylor is unable to be here today, but has a PhD in African American and African Diaspora Studies. Her research expertise is in African tradition, religion, African-centered epistemology, Black queer theory, and performance studies. She has also been a Fulbright at the University of Badon in Nigeria and has been a recipient of numerous academic awards and also holds an office on the National Council for Black Studies. And we are delighted to have Dr. Duckett join us as part of our team and part of our trip to Ghana. Other faculty include our Vice President for Student Affairs, Dr. Renault, and as well as our part-time instructor, Ashley Palmer, who's been teaching English between the Center for Black Studies and English Department. These courses, like Barbados, are 3-credit courses, and they will be there for 3 weeks. They too will learn about Ghana's role in the slave trade, its history, culture, tradition, and its people. I really would like to thank all of our staff and our faculty at NIU and ISU who have created these opportunities. It has been a pleasure to work with all of them, and especially our students, and watching how they continue to transform their lives through these experiences. And at this point, I would like to turn it over to our 3 students who you will hear from, and then we'll take questions and hear from our Dr. Williams as well. Thank you. Oh, first up, next slide, is Maitreya Williams.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. My name is Maitreya Williams, and I am from Chicago, Illinois. I'm a senior here at NIU, and my major is journalism with a minor in history. I will be graduating this Saturday, and post-graduation, I will be starting a job working for Aldi doing digital media. And then you can go to the next slide.
Who are you going to be working for? I'm sorry, can you say that again?
Aldi.
Aldi, okay.
Yep. Grocery retailer.
Okay, cool.
So this spring break, I got the opportunity to attend the trip Engaging in Multiculturalism in History in Barbados. And before I get started explaining the pictures, I do want to say that there are no words that can describe the impact that the Barbados trip has left on me. It was life-changing to participate in a trip like this, especially as a Black woman. I considered it a identity-affirming experience, going to the first stop of the transatlantic slave trade and really learning about the journey of my ancestors and so many more. So this first image I took at a church, and we were overlooking like a little neighborhood in Barbados, and it just showcases the beauty and the scenery that we got to observe on this trip. And can you go to the next slide, please? So this next picture really resonates with me. I took this picture at a roadside market in Barbados, and it's interesting because the artwork that they have in Barbados is very similar to Black American cultural artwork, specifically the black and white picture at the bottom left of the screen with those dancing silhouettes. I grew up in my household having a lot of pictures that looked like that, and I'm sure a lot of other Black people have as well. And it was just interesting to see the similarities between the Black culture in America and the Black culture in Barbados and how similar that is. You can proceed to the next slide. So this image is of a map of the Newton burial ground. It's significant because the burial ground is the final resting place for so many Barbadian enslaved people. And as we walked the grounds and we looked at the scenery and we read the plaques, it was just kind of like being consciously aware of the land that we were on and who was actually under us. And it was just a moving experience. Next slide, please. So the last picture kind of sums up my experience in Barbados as a whole and what I took from Barbados with me. This is a brick from the Builder's Wall of Barbados, which is basically a wall representative of everyone who has helped build the country of Barbados in its inception. And being a Black person, especially being a Black person in America, I feel I've been disconnected from my roots because I don't know where I came from. I don't know where my ancestors came here from. And at times it's like I think that I would never know where they come from, but seeing my last name on this builder's wall kind of served as like hope that maybe one day I will. So those are the end of the images, but I did just want to extend a thank you to Dr. Williams and Dr. Walden for helping me on this trip and to NIU as a whole for accommodating the NIU students. I'm sure that I speak on behalf of all of us when I say we really appreciate it. Thank you.
Next, we have Romeo Bell.
And you know what? Before we get to the next one, use that outside voice because we want to be able to hear the presentations that you guys. All right.
Good morning, everyone.
Pressure's on.
Yeah. My name is Romeo Bell. I'm from Chicago, Illinois. I'm a rehab and disability major here at NIU, and I graduate this Saturday. I plan on doing the higher education and student affairs degree graduate program. I'm sorry. So first, I want to thank all administration who had a part in this study abroad trip and making this possible for young adults like myself, and I'm forever grateful. So during my time in Barbados, I learned so much about the people and the Bajan culture. I got to eat the local food. I got the unique opportunity to socialize with the Bajan people. But most importantly, I got to learn about the history of my ancestors. So the first image, this was taken in George Washington House Museum. This was extremely powerful for me because one of our administrators there, Dr. Houston, described this artifact as, you can take my body and not my soul. And I find this very meaningful because it showed the pride and dignity that this man had even though he was shackled and chained up. So we also had the opportunity to weigh the shackles that were around the neck of the enslaved man, and that iron weighed 30 to 50 pounds. And all I could imagine is walking in the sun in Mouse just with 30 to 50 pounds around your neck, and I could imagine it, but it was pretty unimaginable. Second slide, sorry. This is a depiction of a slave ship. So this is designed to fit the maximum amount of enslaves without regard to human condition. And if I would guess, I don't think there's any bathrooms on this ship at all. So you can imagine how that is. This just gave me the idea of, like, you've seen trucks with cattle on the back of it, and there's just the similarities of it. You see the animals on the back of that truck are in better condition than the humans on this ship. Third slide. Okay, this image was meaningful because this was different ways they enslaved the Africans, just different irons and different shackles. One of them being a shackle they placed around the necks to enslave to form restraint and punishment. That would be a neck shackle. B would be a collared neck collar. This is a replica that would be used on the island of Barbados. C is an arm bar used on slaves in Barbados and other places. D would be a manacle and chains. These are objects found on the wall of Golden Ridge House of St. George, Barbados, which would be ankle shackles. Next image. And this was sacred to me because this was a sacred experience to me because this was a place where I got the opportunity to stand on the shoulders of my ancestors. And if you heard that quote, I was actually doing it. This was where they were once buried. They didn't get the proper burial, so they were just under the ground, and I got the opportunity to just take in that experience. So that's all for my slides, but I do want to say, I love to tell people this experience definitely changed me as a man, because being a black man in America, I sometimes feel like I'm not accepted in the country that I was born. And this was stemmed to me feeling like I wouldn't be accepted in any other country as well. And that all changed when I got the opportunity to go to Barbados because of the people. They showed much respect and dignity, and it's just an opportunity that changed me forever. And I'm glad I got to break those biases that I once had. And thank you everyone for supporting us.
Okay, Jalen Logan is last. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. My name is Jalen Logan. I am a junior from Springfield, Illinois, and my major is fashion merchandising, and my minor is marketing. So before I begin my presentation, I would just like to say thank you to NIU. Also, thank you to Dr. Walden.
Dr. Williams, excuse me, and Illinois State University for allowing this trip to happen. I will go ahead and present my pictures. Next slide, please. So this first image was taken at the George Washington House Museum. So the lady standing next to me, this is Ann Rutter. She is a heraldic artist based in Barbados. She actually designs all of the costumes for the museum. It was really nice to meet her, connect with her, and kind of relate to her, I guess, through our experiences with art and our appreciation for design. And next slide, please. So my next image, this is the Emancipation Statue in Barbados, very different from our Emancipation Statue. And so when I look at this statue, I feel like it is a perfect representation of how the people in Barbados view their history and how they view the history of slavery. When I see this image, I see someone literally breaking the shackles and being able to get through their adversities that they have faced in the past and being able to rise up from above of all of those things. Next image, please. And this image, this is a picture that I took at one of the enslaved burial grounds. So this was a very moving experience. I've never been so close to an enslaved burial grounds or anything like this before. And so it was just a really breathtaking experience just to be able to walk through this area, kind of have a moment to myself to just walk through this field and really feel connected to the people that are literally buried underneath my feet. And it's very disheartening, I would say, to know that these people did not get the proper recognition that they deserved or even the proper burial. As you can see, it's literally just a field. There are no signs or anything that indicates the name or the person at all. It was a really moving experience. Next slide, please. And my last image, I wish you guys could see it a little bit better, but there is a breathtaking view behind the trees in the back. So this image was actually taken. We kind of traveled to the top of the hill, I would say, and there was a home. This is called Chalky Mount Potteries, and Chalky Mount Potteries is a Black-owned family business. And it was really nice because I am a fan of pottery and art, and it was nice to be able to go into their studio and meet them and actually watch them create some of the pottery. So I actually bought a nice little mug too. But it was a nice experience and just a beautiful country overall. I would like to say thank you to NIU, thank you to Dr. Walden, Dr. Williams. I truly enjoyed my time in Barbados and just thank you for making this trip possible.
Thank you all very much. I'll take questions. We can take questions about all of the trips that are here. Questions, comments?
I'm curious about a historical question here. Mm-hmm. So, and I think you and I have talked about this a little bit before, but from Ghana to Barbados, mm-hmm. was there, from what I understand, there's a dividing point. People went to Brazil, mm-hmm. some people went to South Carolina.
Yes.
So was there, and I understand that there was a larger proportion of people that went to Brazil. Did they talk about that at all on the trip?
We did not talk about that particular piece on the trip. We do look at all of the places, so it's not just that they only went to Barbados, but that was one of the closest land masses from West Africa.
Okay.
Millions went to Brazil and South America, as well as other places as well, but this particular piece, there's interesting history between Barbados and Ghana, as well as Barbados and South Carolina. The English that came to and settled and colonized Barbados also came and settled and colonized South Carolina. So was why we did all three of those particular areas, okay. Not to negate that there were other places that the slave trade traveled.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me say, as the chair of this committee and seeing beautiful black women, men jump up there and do their thing, I am so proud of you all as a black man, and I want you all to keep that push going, okay? The questions I have for you, though, is I emotionally, you know, I looked at the pictures. I didn't even have to be there to hear your presentation. It invokes a lot of emotion. How did you bring that back to the campus and share those with your colleagues, some that may not be black and may not have had that experience? Because it's all about the inclusion and the education that we give to the larger body. So can you get into that a little bit?
Well, they are graduating, but I'm sure that they will continue because we will probably engage them as alums. Mm-hmm. I think, Jalen, it's all on you. No, no. You want to come up and talk. And then I don't know if Michelle wants to talk a little bit about what she does with the students when they come back from California as well. Jalen.
So to answer your question, I would say knowledge is everything. So being able to take those experiences, coming back to campus, being able to spread that information to faculties, to staff, to students, I think being able to take that history and share it with others and be like, hey, like, are you aware that this has happened? And to kind of share those experiences with people, I think that will allow me to, I guess, better serve my people better and be able to keep the history alive, I guess I would say.
Now, to get going the trip, was there a lottery, or how was the selection of the students?
For Barbados.
You could just talk about it in general.
So we did a study.
No problem. So for the international trips, we did do study abroad, but we also, Ann Edwards, who was the director at the time, had a listserv, sent that out. We had flyers, and we didn't get a large amount of students that said yes, they would go, because when you look at the price, students are like, I can't do this. So, and you know, even with Ghana, we have students that are still like, I don't even know how we're gonna get this done. So when we explain to the students that did say, yes, I'm interested, that the cost is going to be something that you can afford, then those students said, okay, that they'll move forward. The students that went to Barbados, I told them to apply, okay, right? And they were like, but we don't know how much is this gonna cost? But then we were able to let them know that it was going to be minimal cost to them, and then they were able to go. All right, can I say, Jalen was one of our students that said that she wanted to go, and then like a month before said she couldn't do this. Okay. And it was cost prohibitive, and she thought. But then when we explained how it's not going to be the total price because of donations and fundraising and all of these things, then she was able to go. Imagine if she couldn't go. Right? So.
I think one of the other students wanted to respond.
You got to come up here.
So just to respond to the first question, I don't think you have to be a black person to like feel the extent of how significant it was. Slavery has impacted all of us. It's literally the foundation that this country was built on. So just sharing my experience to anyone, black, white, whatever, I feel like Jalen said, like it's just sharing the knowledge that can really be the difference. And then just to build off what Dr. Walden said, she told us like the day before the application was due, because I remember telling her, I can't go, I can't afford it. Literally that night, she was like, apply, and I applied the very last second and she pulled it off. But yeah, I feel like all three of us kind of were like on the edge thinking about how we were going to be able to afford it, but she reassured us so many times that we just decided to go forward with it.
Very good, very good.
First, just thinking all the faculty and staff that has been instrumental in this. I mean, identity, which is what we heard over and over again, right, in different ways from the students. Identity development is so important, so important to who we eventually become, how we show up in the world, and how we lead. And so I think right now, I'm guessing you all are feeling what you saw, but we still have yet to see the longer-term impact this is going to have on you as leaders. So this is tremendous, and I am so proud that NIU is doing this for students. And the other thing I think about is there shouldn't be, students shouldn't feel like they need to, like, withdraw, right, from an opportunity like this because of, for financial reasons. So if there is a scholarship, you know, that we can build or help promote, I think, like, me and my colleagues would be so excited to support. I mean, I would. I should speak for myself, right? But
as we enter campaign, I will remember that you said
please,
that.
Please. I just would, you know, that feeling of, like, I really want to go, but I can't go because I don't, that's not fair.
So it's actually one of our cases for support that we have developed, because we do believe that these programs are needed, important, and valuable. Yeah. And so all of our centers, the ARC as well as the Center for Black Studies, has really reached out to alums and donors about these opportunities. So yes, definitely. Definitely an opportunity for fundraising.
Trustee Butler?
So I'm interested in the interdisciplinary nature of these trips, that the students come from various programs, but also the inter-university nature of this. So I'm curious if you can comment a little bit on how you reach out to students from various disciplines, but also the partnership that seems to be forming between us and ISU and the other institution that you mentioned.
Sure. So I talked about how we have really, I think that, you know, we did this for the first time, so we went through the networks that we knew and we knew existed on campus for our students to get students to recruit from this. I think as we continue to make this a standard process, that we should probably be looking at other ways to engage maybe department chairs or various colleges across the university to participate. But I will say this was like our first time doing this, and so I think we've learned from it, and we'll probably engage more of our colleagues across campus. I'm gonna let Dr. Williams speak to the partnership. She's amazing, I just want you to know. She is an honorary Bajan. She introduced me to people that I didn't even know in Barbados, so Dr. Williams, she's amazing.
Thank you so much. To answer your question, this entire project, this entire effort is so serendipitous, and I'm a raging introvert. You might have seen Dr. Walden ask me if I want to talk. But it's amazing how just walking in this opportunity, understanding, you know, things that I was taught by my mom, things that my mom taught me, explaining that education is the way out. I grew up very poor. I'm call myself a small brown girl from Alabama, and 2018, honestly, when I the country is raging and felt like it was falling apart, I knew I had to do something. So I'm so excited that I met President Freeman and Dr. Walden on ISU's campus for an EDI event, and the program is interdisciplinary. It's for everybody, just like Maitreya was saying. I wish I could take a busload of students every time. I often say that even though we do have a syllabus and we do learn lots of things, we could stop. I wouldn't have to teach anything once we get off the plane. The demographics of Barbados, they are 96% people of African or Caribbean descent. So just being in that environment, I know the students talked when we were there about how it felt different. It just feels different. So to maintain the interdisciplinary nature of the trip, I give them assignments that are associated, that they associate with their own majors, right? So we go down there and I'm like, look at what you're seeing and what you're feeling and what you're learning from our presenters and the people that we interact with, and then tell me how does that relate to what you have learned in your major and what you want to do going forward in your career?
She's being very modest. can I stay here? So she created opportunities. We have a student that was interested in film. she connected with a woman in Barbados that does filmmaking, and we had meetings with, the students got to meet the filmmakers. One of the alums, who's a agribusiness, owns like 51 acres of, 46 acres, something outlandish amount of acres of land, who's an alum, who wants to be able to supply Barbados with its fruit and produce. Because right now they export, I mean they import all of their fruit and produce. And so these students had opportunities to meet business people, IT, that are running businesses. And it seemed like every person we met connected with a student's major. The picture that Jalen had of Anne, we just met her randomly. And she was interested in fashion and fashion merchandising. So some of it was very intentional that Dr. Williams created these opportunities across majors, but they all connected in some way. The digital digital marketing, the human resource piece, every student had an opportunity because she knew who was coming, what their majors were, and connected them very intentionally with people on the island.
I think that also speaks to the difference that we can feel when we are not minoritized and marginalized. You know, I mentioned that I'm an introvert, not in Barbados. In Barbados, I say that you will meet no strangers. So I want this class, I want this experience to be great. So I do meet anybody, and I look at them as a resource for the students to connect to. And I really do try. When I get the application and I see the students' majors, I'm thinking, who do I know? Who do I know who can connect me to somebody else? Mm-hmm. So, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, quickly. One of the principles of design thinking is iteration. And so one of the things I'm noticing is that this program seems to be engaged in a lot of iteration. Like you're doing the good idea first, and then you're figuring out as you move forward how to make it better, how to make it more relevant. And I commend you for moving on a good idea and not, you know, holding back for years and years and years and planning and thinking and you know, just seeing where it goes and what it will mean for people, because you were able to, as a result, give these students this experience, when if we had planned for 4 or 5 more years, you wouldn't have.
I am known for building the plane as it's taxiing down the runway.
Me too. That's
great. And the partnership between universities, right, with students at the center. I mean, I hear, like, took it at ISU, and then they transferred the credits over here. There was nothing about, like, what belonged to, you know, who. It was really, truly about how to make it easiest on the students and how to make the trip possible. So I, again, commend you both for making that happen.
Thank you. Yeah. Michelle, did you want to speak to the students going to the Japanese incarceration?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
To speak to a question that was answered, a question that was asked earlier, is how did we promote it? And so students did fill out an application. We promoted it very widely. Beyond throughout the entire campus. And last year we had 6 students who joined us. And I was the only full-time staff person at the time at the Asian American Resource Center. So I had invited Christina Carpio, who at that time was an alumni, but I'm proud to say that she's now a full-time staff member as my associate director here at Northern Illinois University at the Asian American Resource Center. And so last year Christina joined as an alum. This year she will join as a full-time staff person. So I want to say thank you to Christina as an alum and now as a full-time staff person. So I also wanted to just share one student who joined us last year, and I'd like to bring up his comment. His grandparents were incarcerated in one of the camps, not at Manzanar, but one of the camps. And he wanted to come because his family had a very difficult time discussing it. His grandmother's still alive. His grandfather died in the camp. And he was curious, and so he would ask his grandmother. But they had very, very difficult time discussing it. And so Owen went on the trip, and I would like to read his comment. Being able to meet Ranger Rose and receive documents about my family's history is something I will never forget. Going on this trip with my peers and learning more about the Japanese incarceration camps was special enough for myself, but returning home with more knowledge about something that impacted my family made it more meaningful. Seeing that my grandparents' names on the documents made me emotionally speechless. It was hard for my grandmother to talk about it, and seeing her name on that document made me understand why. Mm. And very powerful. Yes. And so one of the expectations of the students who are going is that they, when they come back, that they do presentations, and it can be a number of ways. It could be a personal presentation, it could be through PowerPoint, it could be through a poster, photo, and so they get to choose what kind of presentation that they will do. What they decided to do some different things, but one thing they decided to do collectively was to present at our weekly, what we call Ohana Nights. That's educational night every Tuesday at the Asian American Resource Center, and they presented to the student body. We promoted it through, again, campus-wide. It was honors approved, business passport approved. And so they had an opportunity to share their experiences with their peers. And so that's an expectation again. This year we have 5 students going with us. Christina will be coming, I will be going. And Sadia Kumar, who is also our new assistant to the director, she will also be joining the trip. But I also wanted to defer to Christina if you had anything that you wanted to share about the experience.
Yeah, thank you, Michelle. So this experience is really fantastic for students to really engage in critical thinking in terms of social justice. And our students that will be going on a trip have been asked to really be reflective while going to the incarceration camps, really learning about the history of Japanese Americans that were incarcerated during World War II just because of their identity. So this is something that we hope will be a very long program throughout all the years, that students can continue to engage with conversation and learn about history and learn and be reflective about how they can use their knowledge to further social justice or challenge social justice issues that our society faces today. So I'm really excited for this next group of students, and I want to thank Northern Illinois University for allowing this trip to be affordable and for having students learn about Asian and Asian American history and the impacts it has on society today.
Thank you, Christina. So as far as the cost of the trip, we're using the bulk of the student fees to defray those costs. The students are responsible, though, to engage in fundraising activities throughout the semester and throughout the year to contribute as well. And so, again, we're leaving next Wednesday on the 17th. We'll be returning on the 25th. So thank you again. Thank you, Bernice.
Thank you. Thank you all.
All right. So, as we wrap up this presentation, I want to say that, I was getting a little melancholy because I know that, Dr. Walden, your time here is coming closer and closer to the end. And, I started to wonder, who's going to pick up that torch and continue to have the passion that you exhibit as it relates to inclusiveness and diversity, et cetera. But when I see the others in the room and I see the young people that were involved in this presentation, there is hope, right?
There is.
And if we can just help one person see a better way, we have no idea right now the presentations that we had, the experiences that these young people had, they may change the world. They may change the world. And I appreciate what you've done, and I appreciate what you all are doing, and I pray that we have a person that fills the vacuum that you leave, because you're appreciated. And I think you've done so much good for this campus to help us think a different way, and we need to continue that. But thank you very much.
Can I just make a quick comment? Yes. For those of you that want to further your education about slavery here in the U.S., there's a great book out there called How the Word is Passed by author Clint Smith. And I think Dr. Edgehill Walden informed me this morning of something relative to the author. He's going to be here we're trying to get him here in the fall to speak here in DeKalb. So keep an eye out for that. Again, his name is Clint Smith, is the author, and the book is called How the Word is Passed. Highly recommend it.
So if there are no other matters to come before this committee, let me tell you that the next meeting date of the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee will be on August the 24th, 2023. At this time, may I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Ms. Hannon, would you please take the roll call vote?
Trustee Rita Athes?
Yes.
Trustee Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Vice Chair John Butler?
Yes.
Committee Chair Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrera?
Yes.
Trustee Tim Moore?
Yes.
Board Chair Eric Wasowitz?
Yes.
Well, the motion carries. This concludes the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee meeting. We will reconvene the Research and Innovation, Legal and Legislative Affairs Committee at 9. No, we're past that. What? I can't even read the clock.
We've got about 5 after 10.
We get 5 minutes. So we'll do
10:10.
10:10. Thank you, everyone.